Thank you for joining us for this teaching from the Fellow Laborers International Network.
All right. Well, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, and thank you for the opportunity to gather together as saints today, and for all of us to come here together just to get filled up with the nourishment of your word, and that we can get stuffing from heaven in Jesus' name. That, as my mom would say, stick to our ribs, but spiritually speaking. And so I thank you for open ears, Lord, and have our eyes open spiritually, that we can receive blessings that'll go beyond today, Lord, that will stick with us throughout the week and beyond, in Jesus' name. So today I want to talk to you about a word I had, and I wrote it up, and then I rewrote it, and I'm going to rewrite it again, because it just keeps living, it just keeps growing, and I'll tell you more what it means, but originally it was called 1984 or 1984, which was a word that the Lord gave me in a dream. And I had him put that up there. That's from my website. So if you want to go read the actual articles, they're up there on flintnet.org. There's 1984, two scenarios. That was actually published in the Morning Star Journal back a few years ago. And it was very appropriate. But anyway, I want to tell you some stories, though. Let me see if I can put on my badge here. I can't get it to hook. But anyway, so you can see my sheriff's badge. Well, here recently, just shortly before the recent presidential election, I was preparing for a conference down in Nampa, Idaho, that I was going to be one of the speakers at. And the Lord spoke to me just out of the blue. Maybe not totally out of the blue, because the conference name was Open Heaven, How the West Was Won. And the Lord spoke to me as I was praying into it, what would I want to do to prepare for that and so on. And he spoke to me to get a sheriff's badge to take with me. And so, actually, I got a couple real sheriff's bags at home, and they're in, like, display cases, you know. So I thought, I'll just take one of those. But I couldn't find the key to unlock it. So I'm not going to spend all the time looking for that. So I just made phone calls around town. Rockin' Rudy's has sheriff's badges you can get for parties. So I just bought a bag of them. I thought, well, that's good. I'll hand them out to the speakers too. So anyway, I'm just obeying the Lord. And I think I like to tell these stories because all of us should really be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit where we can hear. He may speak to you differently than he does to me. Well, I'm sure he does, because each one of us is an individual, and the Lord knows us independently of one another as well as we overlap. But so I just want to encourage you, though, to learn to hear from the Lord, and then to follow, I call them breadcrumbs. It might be manna, that's bread, but to follow the breadcrumbs, because it's just, to me, not only does it bring you into remarkable places, but it actually energizes joy into your everyday life, you know. Now, of course, some days you're a little perplexed. Now, why do you want me to do that? But you find out later. You see what I'm saying? You're walking along and you're getting the pieces. So anyway, so when he said, get a sheriff's badge, I said, okay. And I'm wondering why, you know. And I often wonder before I actually ask. So I may wonder for a long time before I think, oh, I should ask. And so I wonder, where are my keys, for days? And then I'll go, oh, where are my keys, Lord? And I'll, you know what I'm saying. So, well, not days anymore, but it used to be. But you know what I'm saying. So point is he likes us to ask. Well, so I went ahead and got the badges. And that was, like I said, before the election. And right after the election, I had them now, and I'm packing and getting ready for the conference. And I said, well, what are these for anyway? And he just spoke to me. He said, well, there's a new sheriff in town. This is right after the election. I said, well, that's cool. You know, so maybe it's a bigger representation than I was thinking. So, again, you know, I'm just obeying the Lord. I got this bag of sheriff badges, and I'm heading down there. And the interesting thing was, as I drove into town, right as I crossed the city limits, on the radio came Eric Clapton singing Bob Dylan, Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door. And the first line in the song is, Mama, take this badge off of me. I can't wear it anymore. I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Well, the name of the conference was, you know, Open Heaven. So, I mean, the song is maybe referring to something else. But here I am with a bag of sheriff's badges going into a conference called Open Heaven, How the West Was Won, and Eric Clapton brings me into town with the song about take this badge off me. And I realized, and I actually shared it in a prophetic word briefly at the conference. I'm telling you more details, but it was fun because it was a word from the Lord saying, look, there's a new sheriff in town. You guys are all being deputized to stand up into this new era that we're entering into to help bring righteousness back into our country. Because when there's a new sheriff in town, what happens? He calls out the bad guys. You know, he says, he's going to clear out the town, right? And some of those bad guys will head out right away. They'll get out of there. And some of them won't. And so he's got to call them out at high noon, right? So here we are. New sheriff in town, you're being deputized. But as far as stepping up into the heavenlies, stepping up into the open heavens, we lay our authority down. We lay our gifts at his feet when we come in his presence. And we go into his. And I thought it was like how the West was won, O-N-E, not W-O-N. So how we come into unity is that we lay down our own personal things. On earth, we need them. That's why he gave them to us. That's why he gave us authority. That's why he gave us our own callings and gifts to bless others on earth. When we come to him, we lay those things down and we go into the throne room, right? We cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. We come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy in order to obtain our grace, right? So I just thought that was really good. So we're being deputized symbolically for a new day because there's a new sheriff in town. He's going to clean up the town and he's going to chase the bad guys out of town and he needs a posse to help out. So we're all going to be deputized to help God wherever he has us, wherever we happen to be, to see that righteousness is restored back in our land. And it starts with our own selves, right? It starts with our own hearts, our own houses, our own living rooms, our own families and friends that we meet with. So I thought that was cool. Now, I want to share something else too. This goes back a while. I had a little dream, though. And in the dream, I saw the Statue of Liberty. And you know the Statue of Liberty has the book with 1776 on it and Roman numerals and she's holding her hand up with the flame. But in this dream, it was opposite. The left hand was up and the book was over here backwards. It was just a simple thing like that. And I woke up and I'm like, whoa, I know what that is. I mean, I knew right away that it was Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, I felt like the Lord was saying we're going into a time where everything's going to be backwards. We're going to call evil good and call good evil. Man, was that accurate. More than I could have imagined. I mean, we have been in a period of time. It's actually lasted much longer than I would have ever dreamed of. The insanity of calling evil things good and then suing good people, throwing people in jail for doing good, for even praying and things. So that simple dream had a lot to say.
That's right.
You know, and again, I just took it from a scripture there. But wow. But I do think we're going to come out of that eventually. It's just taken longer to go through it, right? There's a country music song says, when you're going through hell, keep on going. You don't stop. You know, it's like the old saying, how deep can you go into the woods?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, only halfway, because after that, you're coming out, right? Yeah. So same with this kind of stuff. We don't know how long this is going to last. It's already lasted longer than I expected, but I don't believe it's going to last forever. We're going to see it switch back. And in reality, when evil has come on the land, whichever land it may be, if people seek the Lord and stay faithful, they always come through it.
Amen.
So there's a cost to it, sometimes greater than we expected, but nevertheless, you'll come through it. And I thank God that we're coming through. There's a new sheriff. We're going to clean up the town. We're going to see righteousness restored. We're going to see those that do good rewarded, those that do evil punished, or have to change their ways at least, and see and see goodness in the land again. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I felt that was still applicable to our time right now, even though it was quite some time ago. When that, there have been times when I thought, surely we're through that. You know, that this was a long time ago. And I'm like, wow, I never dreamed a little dream like that could refer to a period of time that has gone on this long. But we're going to stay faithful, and you know, a good way to go through those kind of things is encourage one another. When you see, it talks about that in Malachi chapter 3. I'm not going to read it, but it says like that there's a time when those people came together. It says they looked and they said, wow, those that curse God go free, and those that are trusting in God are being punished. What's going on? That's what it says. But it says, then those that feared the Lord gathered together and spoke with one another, and the Lord listened and heard them and said, those are my jewels.
Amen.
Those are the ones I'm going to call them my sons. So even though it seems like a tough time sometimes, get together with others, you know, and seek the Lord, and he's going to listen, and the blessings will be much longer term than the struggles. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's some things I was thinking about in Scripture. Now, look, I'm not going to read all the verses, but in Matthew chapter 14, 1 through 12, you remember the story. This also in Luke and Mark, but where John the Baptizer, where he was criticizing Herod. Now, he got in trouble for that, right? But he was correct in everything he was saying, right? And so he was getting involved in calling out some of the unrighteousness in the leadership of the land. You see that in Luke chapter 13, verse 31, where Jesus was talking about Herod. Now, Herod's family had an issue with Jesus' family, meaning Jesus, meaning righteous people. Herod, the spirit of Herod, had a long-term history of knocking off the prophets and knocking off those that had anointing of God, right? Tried to take out Jesus even first before he was born, then after he was born. Lots of children died trying to get to Jesus. Didn't get to Jesus, but still people suffered. Talks about in Scripture where Rachel mourned and would not be comforted. That's because it was a prophecy about what was going to come. So Herod, that spirit is still there. It's a political spirit, and it comes against the prophetic spirit. And so Jesus, you know, he's talking about Herod. He says, that old fox. He calls him a fox. Now, what, you know, fox is unclean. To the Jews, that was an unclean animal. It's like a, and it gets, what does a fox in the hen house do? We have that as a figure of speech, don't we? A fox in the hen house is something that has snuck into something that's yours that would, you know, bring prosperity, eggs. Well, eggs and KFC. Right. But the fox gets in there, and what happens? Destruction.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was not just a little statement. And of course, in those days, you know, you get in trouble if you criticize. Today, if you go to some countries, I think, like Thailand, I think it's against the law to criticize the king. I'm not sure if it's like that in other, like the Netherlands or other places where they still have kings. But I know I read something recently that it is there. So point is that you get in trouble just for criticizing. They didn't have the Bill of Rights. Correct? But here he's calling him a fox, saying basically he's in the hen house, right? And that would really be serious to Herod because he was not of the line of David. So he really shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. Right. So any criticism he was willing to come down hard on. Look what he did to John the baptizer, right? He threw him in prison. He was going to leave him there forever, but then he got tricked and he ended up cutting off his head. That's how little they cared about someone's life. So here's Jesus; he's criticizing, but we never get angry at Jesus for getting political. You know what I'm saying? What about when Peter went to Jesus and the disciples were asking him, you know, what about the tax for the temple? You know, what are we going to do? Should we pay that tax? You know, and everything. And Jesus spoke to him about that, and then he tells Peter, "I said, look, I'll tell you what; I want you to go pay for you and for me." And of course, he tells him how to get the money,
yeah,
which was supernatural.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how many of you have ever had supernatural help to pay your taxes? I mean, I was thinking about that this morning. A lot of us have had to have supernatural help to pay. Now, it didn't necessarily come out of the mouth of a fish, but I know a lot of people have to pray to get their taxes paid or their rent or their, you know what I'm saying? So supernatural is good when it comes to paying your bills. So Jesus had supernatural help. And so it's in the Bible. But I want to put it in the context of your life. You know, in other words, here's Jesus. We don't think of Jesus as being political, right? We think of that as being spiritual. So what I want to bring it up to our day here in church is like, why can't we speak about some of these same things and not think about it being political, but think about it being spiritual, right? Because that's really where it's at. Same thing with Jesus. You know, if you look at that only from a political perspective, it's a whole different story. But we need to see it from the heavenly perspective. So Jesus had to deal with that. And he did get supernatural help. And then Peter went and had a great testimony, which is in Scripture, and then paid the tax. How about paying taxes to Caesar? Matthew, Mark, Luke all have it. Matthew chapter 22 talks about it, where they came to Jesus and they were testing him, right?
Yeah.
Testing him. Hey, what about paying taxes to Caesar? Because you know Caesar, he's a false god. He's a secular government. He's Antichrist. And actually, you know, a couple Caesars later was the Antichrist, you know. But anyway, so Jesus, you know, he didn't get stirred up by them. He just quieted down there a little bit, and then he said, "Okay, show me the money." And they showed him the money. And of course, whose picture's on there?
Caesar.
And of course, it was Caesar, right? Even that alone was against the Jewish law, because you weren't allowed to have inscriptions, you weren't allowed to have idols and things like that. So you couldn't pay your tax to the temple with Caesar's money. You had to go exchange it for other money. But those guys that were exchanging the money were glad to have Caesar's money. You know what I'm saying? It's like people that really promote gold, and I'm okay with gold because the Bible says gold and silver is mine. I'm okay with that. But the people who sell gold always want dollars. They don't want you to pay for it in other, you know, brass tacks or something. But anyway, so they brought the coin to him. And he says, "Whose picture's on there?" They said, "Caesar's." So then what was his answer? It's pretty famous now. "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God." And he just bowed down and just kept doing what he's doing. And then they're like, "What? How can you argue with that?" And then, of course, they left, you know. They didn't leave the money, though. They didn't leave their offering. Remember, Jesus always said that. He says, if you go to the altar and you realize you have something against your brother, leave your offering and go get right. He didn't say, he said, leave the offering and then go get right. So anyway, he's a preacher, so he wants to make sure you leave the offering. But anyway, so my point is bringing these things up, is these are in Scripture. And they're spiritual, obviously. But every one of those, if they were today and they weren't written in Scripture, you might say, well, that pastor, he's getting too political, right? If his name wasn't Jesus, if his name was something else, it wasn't John the Baptist. You see what I'm saying? So I want to just get you to be thinking, as I talk about some of these things, I'm trying to look at it spiritually, not politically. But I think we need to look at it from a spiritual perspective, even though it's happening right before our eyes.
Yeah.
Even though we're in the middle of it, even though it influences our life and we influence it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, now I want you to think about this. You remember the original Star Wars?
Yes.
It was called Star Wars, A New Hope. Now I want you to think about this. In 2016, we had Star Wars, A New Hope. In 2020, we had The Empire Strikes Back. And in 2024, we have The Return of the Jedi. And so I want you to think about, we are at the beginning of the opening scenes of The Return of the Jedi, but in the actual sense of our own lives, where we are. Right? So we don't know how the movie's going to play out yet, because we're just sitting down in the theater. We haven't seen it yet, but it's going to play out, and we know how it ends.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We're in a time when we're seeing things restored that have been taken, where the evil has risen up, but now it's going to have to take a back seat. It's not going to give up on its own. It'll fight to the end. It doesn't care if it takes everybody down with it.
That's right.
Because that's what evil does. That's the way evil thinks.
Right.
Do you ever hear me tell the story of the turtle and the scorpion? Have you ever heard that?
Yep.
You have. Anybody else? I'll tell for everybody else. You can hear it again.
Well, I tell it all the time, so it's all right.
So, all right. Well, so little Johnny... No, just kidding. Little Johnny had a scorpion. No, just kidding. So there was a scorpion, and he wanted to cross the river. And so there was a turtle there, and he asked the turtle for a ride. He says, I can't swim. He says, so give me a ride across to the other side. I need to get over there. And the turtle says, no way. I'm not going to do that. He says, well, why not? He says, because I know you. He says, if I let you on my back, I'll get halfway across the river, and you'll sting me with your tail, and I'll be paralyzed, and I'll drown. And the scorpion says, now that doesn't make any sense. Is that logical? Because I need to get to the other side, so if I sting you, you know I can't swim. So if you're paralyzed and you drown, I'm going to drown too. And so the turtle, being such a nice guy, he thinks about it, and of course, he judges things based from his perspective, which he's a nice guy. So he says, yeah, I think you're probably right. Okay, I'll help you. Go ahead and get on my back. So he gets on his back, and he starts swimming across the river. He gets halfway across, and the scorpion stings him in the neck. And, of course, the turtle is paralyzed now, and as they're floating down the river, both of them, the turtle says, it doesn't make any sense. Why did you do that? Now we're both going to drown. And the scorpion says, logic has nothing to do with it. It's my nature.
Yep.
You see, we're up against evil today that if they can't be in charge, they'll destroy everything because that's their nature.
Mm-hmm.
You can't understand why in the next few weeks somebody would try to start World War III.
That's a word right there.
Why would they want to start World War III? So somebody else would have to fight it. It's their nature. Why would they try to start a war between Taiwan and China, knowing that they're not going to be around to do anything about it and just laugh when somebody else has to deal with the trouble? It's their nature. So, what's our job? Our job is to pray, right? We're supposed to help clean up the town, right? We got to load up our six guns with prayers that we can send out, right? And so that's our nature. That's what we need to do. Is we don't want to be ignorant of these things, but neither do we want to get discouraged by these things. But don't be surprised when you see them do insane things because it's their nature.
Right.
Don't expect if there's a scorpion in your shoe that he's not going to sting you if you put your foot in there. That's his nature, right? So we've got scorpions in our system right now. We want to get it out of there. Now, Winston Churchill said, learn all you can from the past, for how else can anyone make a guess about what's going to happen in the future? So, in other words, we should learn from it. I like what Rick Joyner says. If you keep heading in the same direction, that's where you're going to end up. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But on the other hand, the direction we've been heading in hasn't been so good, right? So we need to look back in order to go forward. Abraham Lincoln said, if we would first know where we are and whither we're tending, we could better judge what to do and how to do it. If we knew where we were coming from and which direction we're going, we would be able to make plans for that, right? So I guess... So today, in talking about some of these things, it's so you can see where has the Lord said we've come from and in which direction are we going. So it can help you to plan with Him to prosper in the situation that we're in and that we will be in, that we're heading into. I like the way the Apostle Paul said it. He said it a little different in 1 Corinthians 14:29. He says, let prophecy be judged. He said, let the prophet speak and let others judge. In other words, when a word is given... I think sometimes we take those things prophetically in the charismatic movement and we say, oh, that's cool. It's kind of almost entertainment, but we don't judge them. See, those things are meant not just to be heard, but also to be referred to. If they're a true word, now they don't always happen quickly. They don't always happen. That's why we have to pay attention. You know, Isaiah prophesied, a virgin was going to have the Messiah, and it was 600 years. So nobody was around to judge that heard it. So that's why we have to have prophetic people that can judge it and say, yeah, I think that's a true word.
Yes.
But we don't know the time limit, the time on it, the timing of it. So, but some of these things are for us in our day, and we need to know what those are. So anyway, those are some thoughts. Now, I want to get back to what I started with, 1984 or 1984, because the Lord woke me up in the spring of 2020 with that in a dream. 1984 or 1984, he said. I woke up. Well, that's the interesting thing. When you get something from heaven, you have to now, you know, there's three parts of any revelation. You know, the one is the revelation itself or the inspiration. And then secondly is the interpretation. And then thirdly would be the application. But the interpretation is a big deal, you know, because, and I like to say, because I have dreams and visions often. Some people never do. But if you have a dream or a vision, you know, I'm like, you can't have a false prophecy vision, okay? You can have a vision. It might come from God. It might not come from God. But if you have a vision and you tell the vision, you told the vision. You're not. You can't be wrong about what you saw. I mean, you could lie about it. But I mean, if you're telling the truth, if I saw this, same with a dream. If I had a dream and all it was 1984 or 1984, I'm telling you the truth. So that can't be wrong. Now, the application of it, you know, and the interpretation of it, that's where I could get it wrong. You see, that's where we want a little bit of humility. That's where it's good to get some help from others. You know, Daniel, he prayed. And then when he would pray, you know, for instance, when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, Daniel could interpret it. When Pharaoh had a dream, Joseph could interpret it. But Joseph wasn't so good at interpreting his own dream, right? He got in trouble for his dream. Daniel, he had a dream. He didn't get in trouble for it. But what he did was he's like perplexed because he didn't know what it meant. And God eventually sent Gabriel to explain it to him. So I like to say, you know, when you might help somebody else with their dreams or visions to interpret them. But with your own, I personally like to get insight or input. But there's times when the Lord just tells you to, but still. So in this case, when I woke up, I was praying. I said, wow, 1984 or 1984. Now remember, this was the spring of 2020. So there was a lot of stuff going on, like we just came through a political period of time. Well, 1984, to me, could mean Orwell's 1984, okay? So it could be like George Orwell, dystopian, you know, like big government, big brother, all those things came from that. Now, some of you may not know what I'm talking about. I learned this from experience that not everybody knows what that is. But the first thing was 1984, the election. And the reason that was the first thing that popped in my head was in 1984, Ronald Reagan was running for re-election against a Democratic socialist with a woman running mate for the first time in the history of our country. So I thought, wow. At that time, Donald Trump was running for re-election against a Democratic socialist with a woman running mate for the second time in history. So I thought, well, right there you've got 1984, the election. So we could end up with a similar thing like what happened to Ronald Reagan running for re-election. Well, what happened with Ronald Reagan when he ran for re-election? He won 49 out of 50 states. And if you want to get, you don't have to get that specific to say he won by a landslide, okay? But if you want to get real specific, he won with 49 out of 50 states. Walter Mondale only carried his own state, which was Minnesota. So anyway, as we're reaching up towards the election, and I'm praying into this, I remember reading a book called God's Chaos Code by Lance Wona. I like Lance a lot. Lance was the one that originally prophesied that Trump would be president in 2016 before anybody believed it, you know, and he got a lot of flack for it. He actually, in his original book on it, coined the term. He said there will be a thing called Donald Trump derangement syndrome, and that actually has become a thing. They just call it Trump derangement, but TDS. That's what they call it. But he actually coined that term in his book. But here's what he wrote in 2020. Listen to this. The children of this age have plans, schemes, and ambitions to conquer the world in America. The ambitious leftists can almost taste it. They have every ring but one, the ring of ultimate power. They came so close in 2016. They have manifested like denizens of hell ever since. They must have this ring to complete their conquest, and it's on the hand of Donald Trump. They must have Trump's executive office. The power of the ring speaks to both sides of the aisle. Democrats want the power, and the Washington Republicans want the return to the status quo. The role Donald Trump seeks for America is that of an independent nation supporting a global community of independent nations. The election looks increasingly like it will not be decided on November 3rd. Now, this was published before the election, of course, but anyway. So this was, I think, I don't know if he wanted it to be thought of as prophetic when he wrote it, but certainly I can look back and I can call it prophetic, okay? Okay, November 3rd. As some rogue states are continuing to mail in ballots as long as they're postmarked by midnight on election night. This means it could be a Trump landslide on election day. And then, surprise, surprise, ballots begin to arrive postmarked November 3rd, 2020, with timestamps of 9 p.m., 10 p.m., even 11:59 p.m. We could see within days that landslides turn into margin, then potentially a defeat. That scenario doesn't even include the normal illegal ballots, ballot harvesting, and voter irregularities. The key indicator is going to be that major networks like Fox, AP, even Facebook, not declaring a winner on election night. If that doesn't happen, the election results will be contested, and the debate could last not just weeks, but months. Now, I have to say that was pretty prophetic, right? And it ended up, everything there happened. But here's the interesting thing. Let me read this to you. This is from my little article there. In 1997, in a Supreme Court case called Foster versus Love, it was 9-0. Okay, that doesn't happen very often. So all nine of the justices voted the same. And they said, according to the U.S. Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 4, only ballots received by midnight on Election Day count. In other words, you can't turn Election Day into Election Week, Election Month, Election Year. So that was 9-0, but they never applied it in 2020. But here's what I found. I just happened to come across it. On Election Night, at midnight, the CIA keeps track of elections around the world, including our election. And on election night 2020, the CIA posted on the website that Donald Trump had won 49 out of 50 states. The only state he didn't carry was his own state of New York. Now, that's before what Lance Wolnow wrote here, all these other things coming in. And they've got now they know there's at least 6 million votes. Now, 4 years later, 6 million votes they can't find the people. Where'd those people go? Because they weren't in this election. So anyway, I bring this up because 1984, the election, that would have been the election of Ronald Reagan, happening again. And so it appeared to me the Lord was saying to me, either the election like 1984 or Orwell's 1984. Now, Orwell, he wrote, 1984 is one book. He wrote Animal Farm. He wrote, there was Brave New World was written by Huxley. And anyway, so those were, they're a genre called dystopian. Dystopian is a word that comes from the Greek words dias and topos, which means a hard place or a really bad place. In other words, you're going into a hard place. You're going into a tough time when you have a dystopian. And actually, when Orwell wrote 1984, it was 1948. And so he just picked it. He figured by 1984, we'll probably be dealing with this. Well, thankfully, he was off by 30 years. But certainly, we've been seeing it more in our lifetime, more recently. The interesting thing was this is the second article. When I wrote the first article, about 1984, and I was at one of my grandkids' birthday parties, and I was talking to one of the ladies there who's a generation or two younger than me, and we were talking about some of this, and I mentioned this, and she didn't have a clue what I was talking about when I used the term Orwell or Orwellian or 1984, and that's why I'm bringing it up now, because some of you, what's he talking about? Because they weren't taught that at school like those of my age were. So that's why I'm explaining it to you. That genre, after World War II, during the time of the Soviet era, where you saw Soviet Russia and then China with the things they were doing in China, very, very dystopian governments. And we still see it today in places of North Korea being probably the greatest example of that. But we've seen it in our own country now in the last 4 years. You see, because when we didn't get 1984, the election, we got 1984, the dystopian government telling you one thing, just the opposite. One of the things he said in his book was, don't believe your eyes. Right. Believe what the party tells you.
Yeah.
And then another one is, you know, who controls the present controls the past. Who controls the past controls the future. In other words, they're telling you this is... No. George Washington, he was evil, you know. Abraham Lincoln was a terrible guy. All these, you know, no matter what, they're redefining the past so they can redefine the future. And interesting how they, in this election cycle, how they tried to redefine the last 4 years to tell you everything was so great. This was the greatest economy in history. Didn't you know that? And if you disagreed with that, you were racist, you were misogynist, you were whatever you were.
Yep.
But the thing about it is, and that was the thing about in 1984, was inside your head. That was the one place where they couldn't get, but they were trying. So inside our heads, we were going, wait a minute, I don't think I'm better off. And so, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we came through that 1984, or we're coming through. We're not out of it yet. But and as I mentioned about with the thing with the scorpion is, we're coming out of it, and we got to be sure we don't get stung in the neck just because it's their nature to do those things. So where we are now? Where are we now? Because when I revisited it, when I was talking to her, the lady about this, and then I realized she didn't know what I was mentioning. So then I went back to redefine it so people who hadn't read those things could understand what God was saying to me.
Yeah.
You see? And in doing that... The Lord took me to places in Scripture where you had two scenarios at the same time. In other words, I felt like he was saying you could have 1984 and 1984. In other words, you could have the election of 1984, yeah, have it taken, and then go into the dystopian 1984, which you saw with David and Absalom. You had a king, a rightful king, who was unseated and his position was usurped. And therefore, David went into exile. Now, they were looking, they tried to kill him. They tried everything to get David. They did everything they could. Well, in this situation, they tried everything they could, including a couple of assassination attempts, but everything, you know, to discredit, to destroy, to bankrupt, to all that stuff, including attempts on his life, just like with David.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work. You see, in David's case, eventually Absalom got stuck in the tree, and that was the end of him, right? And so David was, the rightful king was brought back to the throne. I will say this. Had things not gone the way they have, I don't know that Donald Trump would have learned the lesson that he's learned about how bad things really are. In other words, for the new sheriff to come into town now to recognize how many bad guys there really are, it's going to take a posse to clean them up. You know, he can't do it himself. And so in that sense, I think the Lord allowed this to happen so we could do a better job long term. Does this make sense? At least this is my prayer. If we've come through this, let's let it be for a reason.
Amen.
Amen? Let's let it be for a reason so that our posterity can have the blessings of liberty for ourselves.
Amen.
And beyond, to quote from our own Constitution, the preamble. So I'd like you to think of the blessings that we have coming because of this. And to continue to pray, but to be watchful. One of the things that's encouraged me is, since the election, really, is people, every time I mention it to somebody, they go, I'm praying more now than I was before. I hear something like that over and over and over again. People are not, you know, going back to business as usual. It's like people are awake to the battle. That's a real battle. I don't care how you voted. I don't care what you're seeing. We're in a spiritual battle. And people are awake to that. And I think that's a good thing. You know, we don't want to be asleep. You know, there was a time years ago, this was in 2000, I guess it was. It was the 2000 election. And I felt like, I felt that the whole church really was in a stupor. I felt like it was just, nobody was praying. It was like, you couldn't get people involved. I felt things were very serious where we were, and the potential direction of the country, I felt was very serious. And so if you remember the time, it was Bush running against Gore. So I'm trying to look at it from a spiritual perspective, and it was, for me, it was very serious. And I thought, this is a crossroads. Now, I'll have to say, we've had even more serious crossroads since then. Yeah, yeah. But at that time, I thought, this is a real serious crossroad, whichever direction we go. So I began to pray, and I just started praying. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do a 3-day fast. It wasn't like the Lord told me to. I'm going to do a 3-day fast. So I fasted for 3 days, and you know, if you've ever fasted for 3 days, after the third day, it actually gets easier, it seems to me. The first 3 days are the hardest. So anyway, on the third day, I thought, wow, I feel better now than when I started. And maybe I'll do a Daniel fast. Well, that's 21 days, okay? So I thought, well, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to go ahead and do 21 days. So I went ahead and did 21 days. And on the 21st day, the Lord spoke to me. He says, now, see, up till now, it was just me. I just wanted to pray and fast. I thought I could help out heaven by doing it. So that's what I did. And then I had the second thought, because I was felt good spiritually, you know. I was feeling kind of strong spiritually. So I did 21 days. And so then the Lord says, on the 21st day. Now, this is the first time he spoke to me. Up till now, it's me. He goes, I want you to do 40 days. I'm like, no way. That's a long time. And he goes, no, I want you to do 40 days. I said, I don't think I can do 40 days. And he goes, well, look at the calendar and count from when you started your 3 days and count forward. So I went to the calendar. Because like I said, I thought it was just me randomly doing these things, right? Well, a lot of times, because the Bible says it's God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you'll allow him to, he does little things for you. A lot of it is just paying attention. Just like, you know, like get a sheriff's badge. Okay. You know, it's not a big deal. It's just obedience. Get a sheriff's badge. Well, then that's the first step. Well, then, okay, what does this mean? And then see how it allows him to bless you as you go until he gets a message that you can bring to the whole group of people. So anyway, in this case, I went and I counted from when I started, I thought randomly, the 3 days, boom, 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 40 days, election day. Wow, I had faith to do the 40 days. Because when I saw 40 days would end on election day. So I went ahead and did it. And guess what? Election day that year, they had the loser conceded, like always happens in 240 years. But then he unconceded, first time in Israel. No. They said no. They came and told him, no. We can get more votes. We can keep counting votes. We can create some. We can send them in. We can do. And so you know the story, if you remember. They started recounting. They started relooking. They started punching little. Remember the pictures of the Chads and all this. And this went on for weeks. They had to go to the Supreme Court, not once but twice. And people still get upset about that on the left. The thing is, the Supreme Court ruled both times 9-0 that they were breaking the law. Well, anyway, what happened was on election night, when it was conceded, then it was unconceded, so then it was going on. So now it's like, what's going on here? We're not used to this in this country. Our election should be done on election day, right? Yeah. And it wasn't. And so I'm really praying. 2 a.m, I'm in the backyard praying. And the Lord says to me, Lloyd, He says, you were praying and fasting when not many people were praying and fasting. He says, right now there's millions of people praying. Would you go to bed? Serious, just like that. I'm like, oh, really? And then I was like released. It's like, that was fun. I'm like, I went to bed. You see what I'm saying? Because I did my part, whatever small part that was. But then when all that was on the TV and everything, lots of people started praying. Well, anyway, I bring that up to today. Because right now, I think a lot of people are praying. I don't think it's like it was back there in 2000 where not many people. I don't think that. I feel like right now, and I pray that it's true, that we're praying for each other. We're praying for our country, that we're praying that we get through this, that we've experienced some tough times, but we can learn from that and we can go through it. We've experienced, quote, the Orwellian 1984 Big Brother telling us what to believe and to not believe your own eyes, not believe your own pocketbook, not believe your own what you've experienced, but believe what you're being told. He wrote in that book, he said, at a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. So let's keep telling the truth, amen? Let's keep speaking the truth in love. I think that we can look forward to a brighter day. I think we can look forward to the return of the Jedi, so to speak, where we can have a refreshing. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges, immediate challenges and ultimate challenges. There are going to be tough times. Hey, the enemy is not going to stop his accusations. Remember when they were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem and Sanballat and Tobias? They stood out there and they just accused, they accused, they accused. And Nehemiah just said, don't even listen to them. So you may have to turn off the TV or off whatever social media you get, because that's where the false prophets of the media come across. That's where they come across. You know, it's good to put your head in this. And so even though I've been talking about some of these things today, I wanted to relate it to this. You see what I'm saying? So when Jesus talked about Caesar, when I'm talking about Caesar, I want you to put it in a spiritual perspective. I hope that you'll allow me to do that for you, because we live in this world, but we're not of this world, right? And so the things that are happening in this world, they affect us, but we affect them. And we have an opportunity right now for breakthrough, right? To stop the Death Star before it gets completed. Because that's their goal, was to total control, right? And that's been the devil's control, desire since going back to Babel, right? Tower of Babel. Well, okay, I'm going to end there. I don't want to keep you from your food here, because they, you know what they say, if you get between people and their good, nice, special lunch, you'll get in big trouble. So we don't want that. We want to bless you and bless your Thanksgiving meal today. And I want to just pray a blessing on everybody, and then I'll turn it over to the pastor. But I just want to say, we have more to be thankful for than probably most people have lived on the face of the earth. Since Adam, really. I mean, we really do have a lot. I'm not saying more than anybody, but more than most, you see. And so we should be grateful. And as we are grateful and as we are thankful, then we open the doors for more blessings. And you know what you do when the Lord blesses you? Find someone else to bless. You know, when you have a blessing, share it with someone else. And you know, according to the law of the Spirit of life, when you have something from heaven and you give it, you still have it. Right. See, it's not like an earthly thing where you give it and it's gone. But in a heavenly sense, you give a blessing and you still have a blessing. And God will multiply that blessing through you. So Lord, I pray a blessing on everyone here today. Thank you for the season that we're in, that we can be grateful. Looking back to our heritage, we have such a wonderful heritage if we would know what it is. And Lord, again, I remind you of the prayers of our forefathers, the prayers of the pilgrims. We don't know every single prayer that they had, but you do. And we know they were praying for us. And they wanted us to be a nation like a city set upon a hill. It's so encouraging to hear people in office today bringing that back up again about a city set upon a hill. Lord, because that's, you said that. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. So we want to be a nation, Lord, that glorifies you, a nation that's known for Jesus Christ being involved in all that we do. And certainly we know, Lord, we're a nation of many nations. All nations basically are mixed here in America. And so we have good, we have bad. But we also know that our goal is to see that you reign. And like Ethan Allen said when he stormed up the stairs and took over Fort Ticonderoga back in 1775, I think, or six, one or the other. And he said, "We have no God but Jehovah." So, Lord, we just declare Jesus is Lord over our land. And I want to pray a blessing on everyone here today. Lord, not just for today, but, Lord, in the days ahead and the weeks ahead, that they can just remember the goodness that you've done for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network. For further information, contact us at P.O. Box 113, Missoula, Montana 59803. Our email address is flintnet@flintnet.org. Our website is www.flintnet.org.